anybody worship Him. It should just be natural. Amen. It ought to come out of you. Amen. It ought to be a flowing out of you like a river. And I encourage you, stay prayed up. Amen. There is I like what David Wilkerson called it. He said he called it a sin that we don't talk about. He says the sin of coming to church unprepared. Think about that. I want you to keep that on your mind, the sin. Now, people say, no, is that really a sin? You tell me that when you live in the presence of a thrice holy God day to day, and you know that this is God's plan to come together in unison, touching, agreeing, praying together. This is the church. I want you to let you know. I've heard people say, well, that church is a man-made thing. Who are you kidding? Man, Jesus, this is God's will for that church to be here. Amen. The gates of hell shall not prevail against that church. This is God's making. This is God's doing. So when somebody looks at me and said, look, I don't think I need to go to church. I don't want to go to church. I said, well, look, you just told God that His plan was pretty sorry. And you didn't think it was good enough, so you're going to make your own plan. Look at it from that perspective. When God has set something in order, I believe He means for it to be that way, don't you? The church is the called out ones, amen. I did enjoy the Sunday school today as well about the Reformation under Hezekiah. How many knows a Reformation is important? I heard a few years back, or several years back, I remember I was always preaching about revival, and I realized this, we will never have a revival unless we have a Reformation. Reformation means when the way you think needs to be corrected. Anybody ever had a mindset or a prejudice or something in your mind that you begin to pray about it and come to find out it really didn't hold a lot of water? There were several things I was told as a young kid raised in church, and I got up and began reading the Bible and said, it don't say that. Several things. I began to pray about it. Dissect the Scripture. Get in the original language and realize, God, what are You saying to us? We need reformations before we can have revivals. Amen. Let's pray for that and want God to help us. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I'm a little bit nervous because you work very hard on putting notes together and you forget to hit a button on the computer and it doesn't send them to you. And I realized that about Sunday school class. I looked over and said, I ain't got no notes today. So you know what? I'm going to preach to you what God's given me without notes today. Amen. We're going to do our best. And Brother Shane said, do you think you ought to go home? I said, no, I think the Holy Ghost will help us. Amen. Hey, this is good practice. Amen. This is really, to be honest with you, yeah, sometimes I do better without them. I find myself sometimes not even reading them. Amen. So go to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Amen. Psalms 103 today. And I want to preach to you, talk to you about God's benefit package. I'm going to present this to you today. I want you to understand that you've got good benefits as a believer. And I know God's going to help us today. Amen. You ever heard somebody say, look, you need to get a job here because it's got good benefits? You ever heard that? We pretty much gauge jobs by that. When I worked for the state of North Carolina, I was started off as a temporary employee. That didn't mean that you... I had plenty of hours. Amen. But they'd lay you off 1 month a year just so they wouldn't have to give you benefits. And they would say, well, you're not a full-time employee because we had to lay you off. You know. So when I became a full-time employee, I remember going to Raleigh. I felt like I was joining some secret society or something. Man, they walk you down a hall in a secret room, and I mean, you're underneath a museum. I remember where the place was, and I'm like, all this to learn about soybeans and corn, amen, and to get initiated into this program. So anyhow, we talk about good benefits. Usually includes insurance and maybe a good savings or a good way to invest in savings, and maybe you ever heard of comp time? Man, that good old comp time and all those things. But I want to preach to you today about the benefits of the believer. And of course, we know Psalms 103 talks about this. Amen. I'm going to read to you five verses of Scripture. And maybe six. We'll see how far we get here. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His... what? Benefits. Amen. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. And then verse 6, the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So today I want you to understand, as we're preaching this, I believe many of you probably already know this, but the book of Psalms is broken up to five different books when you begin to study the book of Psalms. Yes, there is 150 chapters, but when you study it, there are five separate books that all of them basically have separate and different themes when you look at them. So we understand today as we look at this, the fourth book of the book of Psalms, so to speak, it starts in chapter 90 and it concludes in Psalms 106. It is this one book that is very interesting as you begin to study the theme of it. You would understand that in Psalms 103, it talks about His benefits to His people. He talks about His care for His creation in 104. His wonderful acts on behalf of Israel in 105. His long-suffering with His people and forgiveness and from the rebellion in Psalms 106. So we'd understand today that when we come to Psalms 103, it is a thanking and a worshiping God for His benefits. Now notice this. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Basically what "bless the Lord" is, it means basically magnify Him, rejoicing Him. You ever heard of blessing somebody? You ever heard of that before? Where it considered I would bless a brother or bless a sister, and maybe I've got $5 I could pass you, or maybe I could take you out to eat and buy you a Wendy's cheeseburger. Whatever it would be, you could say, "Look, I was able to bless them." But when it comes to blessing the Lord, look at this unique phrase here. How can you bless the Lord? I promise you this, it ain't so much that He needs $10 from you to put in His personal savings account, and then that you have to sit down and maybe invite Him out to eat with you. The way that we bless the Lord is by worshiping Him, by magnifying Him. That is what it means to bless the Lord. Amen. Think about that. This service today, I wonder how many of us, have you blessed the Lord in the service? Have you worshiped Him with adoration and with just an outflowing inside of your spirit? Notice what it says. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." When it says "all that is within me," it's talking about every part of your being, every fiber, your soul, your mind, your strength, your energy, your efforts, everything about you. You're blessing Him. You're worshiping Him. Isn't that amazing how in a service like this, everybody worships God a little different? Amen. Some may be a little louder, and that doesn't mean they're wrong. And if you think somebody's wrong for worshiping God loud, then you would have hated to have been around David. Don't know what you would have done around Miriam, and you ain't going to like heaven. Amen. There's going to be noise there. But there's some others that may be quieter, and that's all right. I don't care how you do it, but bless Him with all of your soul, everything about you. Let there be a worship because of His benefits and His goodness and all the things that He does for us. Now, notice verse 2 there. "Bless the Lord, O my soul," mentions it again, and it says that "forget not all His benefits." Now, with this, I want you to notice the word "all" there, A-L-L. It is mentioned some 9 times in this chapter, in these 22 verses. We find it first in verse 2. It says, "all His benefits." You find it in verse 3. "All thy iniquity shall be forgiven." You'll find it, "He healeth all thy diseases." You find it in verse 6. "And for all they that are oppressed." You find it in verse 21. "All ye His hosts, ye minister of His." You find it in 22. "Bless the Lord, all His works in all places." So the word "all" here, this is a chapter of completeness and worship with all things. Look at Him for all the things that He does. You know, isn't that amazing when it's too numerous to begin to number them? You know, you can't outline God's blessings. You ever heard the songs, "Count your blessings, name them one by one"? And when you begin to add the blessings of God, you find out the only thing you can say is, "Lord, bless you for all of them." Amen. I can't really put a number on them, because when I try to number them, I know I will forget some of them, because I know there's things there that you've done that I don't see, because I can't name them all. I can't put them in numerical order. "Lord, bless you for all of them." Amen. That's what the psalmist is saying here. "Lord, all of your benefits, all of your blessings, all the things that you've done for us." How many can say today, "Thank God for all of it"? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for every bit of it. All of it. Thank God for you being good to us. You've been faithful to us. Because I know, that's why I don't like naming names. Because I always say, I know I'm going to forget somebody. You already witnessed that today. I'll mess names up. I'll get things out of order. I'm human. That's the way I am. But I look up to heaven on a Sunday morning and say, "Lord, all the things you've done for me, Lord." I look at my family, Lord. That's one of them. We look at our homes. That's one. You look at your vehicles. You start start naming them. But here, this is what the psalmist begins to do here. He begins to name some of the blessings and the mercy of God Almighty. Now, when we look at this, it starts here in verse 3. We see these different things that the psalmist begins to outline to us here. We find out about forgiveness and healing and all these different things. But we're going to look at this today and go through these verses. And I want you to, at the end of the service, I want you to be able to bless the Lord all your soul. We'll follow the Lord as we get to the altar call. Amen. Maybe you'll come up here. I love if God just take over right where you are. Amen. And it's just flowing out of you. Notice verse 3 here. It says we're going to bless the Lord, number 1, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. Isn't it good to be forgiven? Amen. Brother Neff mentioned it in Sunday school. You thank God for houses and lands and family, but all of it means nothing if you are not born again. If you're not here today and you have not been forgiven of your sins, you have not been forgiven of your iniquities, I challenge you and tell you that there's a joy that comes with forgiveness that you cannot stimulate. You cannot produce it with an alcohol or a drug. There's a deep, untouchable, it goes beyond words. It's joy that is unspeakable. Because it is good to be forgiven of all thine iniquities. Now, think about this today. If we were to begin to try to outline God's forgiveness in our lives, I want you to think right now. Take a moment and take inventory. Think of every sin you've ever committed as an individual. And don't say you have never committed a sin. Because the Bible would call you a liar. You remember, I remember... just as well as I can count the blessings of God, I can look at my past. And boy, I lost count. Lost count yet? Now magnify that individually, but I'll magnify that by just people in this room. How many sins you think that is? Man, have you lost count yet? Oh, you just started. You can't just stop, okay? It's like trying to count to a billion. You can't, you ain't got enough time. Million. But then imagine how many sins are in Hampton, Virginia. Imagine how many sins are on this peninsula. How many sins are in Virginia. How many sins are in the world. Do you not find it amazing that the atonement of Christ, when you come to Him, you ask for Him to come in your heart, He forgives all thy iniquities. Look, you can't count His blessings. You can't count your sins, maybe. But understand this. We can say, look, you've forgiven them all. Amen. All of them are gone. All of them are dissipated. All of them have disappeared underneath that crimson flow. As it says later on in this chapter, we don't have time to get to it. But I'm telling you, He cast them as far as the east from the west. Amen. That means you know, people say, why not the north and the south? Because the north has a destination in heaven. We know that the south has a destination in hell. But left and right, no, we understand west and east don't have an ending point. That means every day that you live, it's going further and further and further away from you. And guess what? It's a wonderful thing to know today. That's how much He's loved you. It's too big. He's forgiven all that iniquities. You have been forgiven. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Notice this, number 2. This is the benefits package. I mean, I hope you're taking the job already. It's already good enough to live on forever. Number 2, notice what He says in verse 2 as well. And in verse 3 as well. He healeth all thy diseases. You know what? That's caused a lot of mishaps in people's minds. Well, people are sick. I want you to understand, no matter if faithful living will ever exempt you from ever getting sick. Amen. You live in a fallen world with a fallen body. Yes, you're redeemed spiritually. Yes, you're new. Yes, I know that. But guess what? This old man, this old physical man, he'll let you down. Have you learned that yet? I'm telling you, I watched my daughter the other day. She had her first stub toe that I've noticed. Amen. She come in there. Oh, ouch, ouch. Boo, 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 boo. Oh, look, she's already stubbed a toe on something. You know what? It can start at 1.5. It starts today, even in your life. Your body will decay and let you down. But I have learned this, and we don't understand. You know what? You ever notice this? How we don't understand everything about the mind of God? Why some people die, why some people are healed, and why some people are not healed. We leave that to God because we know in His sovereignty and His power and His purposes, He can work things out to the good of the believer. Isn't that good to know? But understand this, we know that He does heal, He can heal, and He has healed frequently. Amen. You don't even know how many things He's protected you from. You don't know how many times you pray pain and there was a prevention of something in your life. You know how many times God gave you that special touch that you needed. You may have been sick and didn't even know it, but in a service He touches you. And not only that, my friends, He'll heal you spiritually. He'll heal that man inside of you. There's times you can have a broken, wounded spirit. He'll come by and make you whole. There's times sometimes you can have something physically. He can come by and make you whole because He is a God that healeth all diseases. Amen. Some people say, no, I heard of people say, well, you ever heard the atonement doctrine where, you know, in Christ you'll never get sick and all that? I'll tell you, that'll let you down, friends. It sure will. Because sure enough, flu season will come around. Amen. Why are you getting a flu shot if you're in the atonement then? I wondered that all whole life. Why do you go to the doctor if that's the case? Yes, have faith and pray. Because our God is a healer. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is a God that healeth us. I know that. He healed the children. The children of Israel marching through that wilderness. He took care of them. Amen. He'll take care of you. But understand this, I believe the man and the woman of God is immortal until God is done with them. He can touch you and heal you when it's His will and His purpose for your life. Last Thursday, when we were out of town, I was able to go to a midweek service with Brother Perry Gross, and he was supposed to be dead a year ago, I mean a few months ago. He's still living. And he had this tremendous, very severe cancer. They had him remove a lot of stuff. I forgot what it was altogether. But, I mean, he's a man that just really, I admire his faith. You don't know he's sick. You know, I said, Brother Gross, you look good. He said, I feel good. He said, I just got one problem. What? He said, I got two tumors. He said, they're just in there somewhere. He says, what doctors tell me. He recently, this week, I told that he officially joined the Cancer Survivor Club, which means he outlived the diagnosis. You understand? That he still had cancer. He said, good. He told the doctor, I want a lifetime membership. You have to know Brother Gross. I seen him the other night talking to Brother Gross. I said, Brother, I said, you look good. How you feeling? He said, Brother Derek, let me give you a word of advice, young man. He said, I'm immortal until God's done with me. He said that, I'm talking about not with an iota of doubt in him. I mean, it's like if he has a bad day, I've heard through the grapevine, his wife told somebody, and they told somebody he had a bad day. But I've yet to see it, amen. I have to hear about it through the grapevine because he's that confident. He's going to be there. He's on the front pew. And he says just, if God's going to heal me, he'll heal me. If not, to be absent in this body is to be present with the Lord. He can heal us. He healeth our diseases. Brothers, I'm telling you, pray for healing. Trusting God. That's part of the benefits of being a believer. Amen. I pray for healing. I believe in God for it. There's times I don't understand it, but that's God. I was listening recently, me and my wife were listening to the Hiding Place. It was an audio drama. Corey Ten Boone, and I tell you, they're an amazing family. If you've never read those books, get you some Christian biographies and get educated on these people. I'm telling you, The Hiding Place, if you never think we got a few copies here, but her dad said something like this to her because she didn't understand. She came to her dad with a very hard question, and the dad knew that she wasn't ready for that amount of information. And so he took his suitcase, they were on a train, and he said, Corey, I want you to pick that suitcase up and I want you to get off the train. She went to pick it up. She said, Daddy, I can't carry it. It's too heavy. And he said, honey, I know you cannot carry that. And he said, I would be a pathetic father to make you do that. He said, God does the same thing to us. He does it always. Sometimes it's too heavy for us. So He gives us enough information that we still trust Him and love Him and know Him. He said, God will give you the information when you're big enough to carry it. If He ever thinks you're big enough to carry it on this side of eternity. You know what I'm waiting for, brothers and sisters? I don't understand sickness. I don't understand suffering. I know God is sovereign and has ultimate purposes. It can work it to the good of the believer. But one day in heaven, He's going to pass you the bag of knowledge and information and wisdom and peel back and reveal it all to you. That's why you went down that road. That's why you had that sickness. He's still a God that healeth all of our diseases. We look on and understand. Notice this. Number three, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That word destruction there in the original language, it actually means a pit. It means a sheol. It means the grave. It means a calamity. It means at the point of death. Amen. Anybody ever almost been in a car wreck? Amen. He's delivered you from the pit of destruction. Anybody almost did this or almost did that or almost went this way, and all of a sudden you look back at the grand scheme of God, and in God's great economy. And you'll realize, look, God has delivered me from the pit. And my friend, how many times at the edge of the grave has God delivered you? How many times it could have been that extra step or that wrong turn or that storm or that whatever it was, but He delivered you. Don't you think the psalmist David here knows a little bit about being delivered from the verge of destruction, from being delivered from the pit? I'll tell you one thing. You ask David about Goliath, he would tell you it was almost there. You ask him about Absalom, you ask him about his own sin, how he almost died because of what he did and life that he lived, but God was faithful enough to forgive his iniquities and to save him from the pit and to save him from Sheol and to save him from destruction. God protects us and He healeth us. He redeems us. But guess what, friend? He redeemeth us from destruction. Notice what it goes on to say. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Now I was looking these words up. I'm surprised I actually remember them. It's amazing. Crowneth actually means that it's almost like He encircles you with loving kindness and tender mercies. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them. I've heard people say the angels of the Lord. I picture a bunch of angels with tents out there. The angel, singular, of the Lord. That pre-incarnate Christ. He encampeth round about us. Amen. We live within that. We live within His loving kindness. Amen. His mercy. I'm telling you, Israel understood the loving kindness of God. How God was loving and kind to them. My friends, hear me today. That's something that we can grasp this today. That loving and kindness, they're two words drawn together. It's when He loves us so much that He is kind to us. He didn't give you what you deserved. Come on now. There's times in your life you didn't deserve this or you didn't deserve that, but Christ did. And in His loving kindness, He reached out to you. Notice this. And His tender mercies. I was excited this morning sitting there studying this. I looked the word tender mercies up. It means a damsel. It's more like a collection of words that draws a picture in the original language. It means like a damsel and an infant. Tender mercies. That means that damsel's going to be gentle with that baby. It's going to be loving towards that child. It's going to be embracive towards that child. And oh, what a picture that is. Is not God that tender with us? There's times all you can do is fall back in His loving embrace and understand His tender mercies, that you're like a baby in the arms of God, that He loves you. He's gentle with you. I thank God He's gentle with Derek Jones. You ever had somebody that's a little harsh? I mean, there's some harsh people in this world. I've met them in the churches. You're like, you don't think you could take those words and put a little sugar on them? You know what I mean? That's the truth, bless God. Jesus could have told you, He tells a lot of truth. He could have written the Bible a lot different. Amen. He could have said some pretty mean things to us all the time. But I also know, we know there's those warning passages for the open rebellion ones in the Scriptures. But I'm telling you, if you're a believer here today, there's a tender dealing of God in your life. There's a parental jurisdiction. There's this jurisdiction where God loves you and woos you and leads you and corrects you and feeds you and provides for you. I'm telling you, I'm like a kid in Walmart. I need God to lead me. I need God to provide for me, to give me my needs and not my wants. God's that good. He's that much of a Savior. He has tender mercies towards us. There's times I felt God chasing me, but as a father should. Amen. There's abuse out there. How many knows that? Your Heavenly Father's not abusive. He's loving. He's tender. Notice as it goes on to say this in verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. How many knows this world doesn't satisfy you? Man, I'll tell you, it'll actually take satisfaction away from you. It'll actually make you more or less content. Let me put it that way. It'll make you miserable. But oh, I have found God to be all satisfying. Amen. I'm telling you, you have a bad day, you can close your eyes and you feel the supernatural satisfaction. You know that it's that good. Amen. He's that favorable. His benefits are good to us. You ever heard 100% satisfaction guaranteed? What is that, Walmart? I don't know which one it is. I know McDonald's likes to see you smile. I know a few of them. But I do know this, it's 100% satisfaction guaranteed with God. He'll satisfy you. Notice this, with good things. Amen. I don't want nothing bad. Luke 11 tells us, if you ask for bread, if your son asks for bread, you're going to give him a stone. If you ask for an egg, you'll give him a scorpion. If you ask for fish, you're going to give him a serpent. He says, no, if you being evil, you being a human, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Spirit to those that ask? He's saying, God wants to give you good things. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You ever thought about that? Yeah, we have things we do for pleasure. You know, we like to go out to eat. Maybe you like to go here. Maybe you like to read. Maybe you like to go out of town. Things you do for enjoyment. You know what brings God enjoyment? Giving you the kingdom. Think about that. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You ever said that? But you ever ask yourself, what is the joy of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is those. He delights in those that does His will. So if you want to bring a smile to the face of God, and you want the joy of the Lord to be your strength, and you want Him to have good pleasure, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to live the promises of God. Obey His Word. And God's in heaven rejoicing with you because that's His will. It's His good pleasure. It's His delight for us to do His will and for Him to give us the kingdom. Man, it brings this. Have you ever given somebody something and it did your heart good to do it? Amen. I remember I love giving things to people who are really in need. I hope all of us enjoy doing that. But there's been several times I was able to maybe slide a little money or give a gift. And you know, at that time, that gift to that person was a lot. And you see him smile, and look, it's doing you more joy to give it to them. And it's just ignited your heart. I'm telling you, when you live to the place that God can invest in you, and God can give you the kingdom, it does His heart, and He overflows. He's happy to bless you, and strengthen you, and heal you, and forgive you, and satisfy you, and bring you out of the pit. It does His heart good to do so. It's the benefits of the Lord. It's like having a boss that brings him joy to give you a raise. Hey man, I've gotten a few raises before. And when I worked in the secular world, really, I mean, it was one of those things, you know, you work there for like, well, I worked for the state 5 years and I think I got an 11-cent raise. Bless the Lord, oh you state, and how wonderful your benefits. 11-cent, buddy. I mean, I remember, it's tight times, you know, the state's going through a lot. I said, so am I. But you understand, it didn't do them so much joy to give me a raise. But I'm telling you this, as a believer, when God's able to invest in you and your family, in a church, and He sees the kingdom going forward, it brings Him a pleasure. Notice here, we won't be much longer. Notice at the end of chapter 5, it says, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, this morning, me and Brother Adam and Brother Shane are sitting around the table, and I came to this part. I said, that's some good stuff right there. Amen. And I said, that's good. That'll preach. And I got reading behind old Charles Spurgeon. I believe many of you know who that is. He has a commentary called The Treasury of David. It's all studying the book of Psalms. And he brings this out. And I want you to look with me in your Bibles. Get your Bibles. I want to show you something here that I think will be a blessing to you. Amen. Get your Bible and go with me. We were in Psalms 103, but I want to show you something in 102, if you would. And Spurgeon brings this out. And I said, I've got to tell him about it. Amen. It just was in my heart. I have to tell you about it. In Psalms 102, if you'll go there, I'll give you another moment. Psalms 102. When you get there, give me a good amen. Psalms 102 in verse 5. Let's start in verse 4. Now notice this. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice of my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. Is that a good setting? Hey, amen. Pretty negative, isn't it? Notice in verse 6, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. Isn't that a bird? And Brother Shane brings out a good point this morning. He says, you know what? Pelicans don't live in the wilderness. Where do pelicans belong? By the water, like a pelican in the wilderness. Amen. There's no life there. He needs substance there. He said, I'm like an owl of the desert. Owls don't belong in the desert because deserts don't have what? Trees. Ain't no barn owls in the desert. Okay, new barns. Another, notice again, he's out of his environment. He's out of his habitat. Notice again, I watch and I'm as a sparrow alone upon a housetop. What's wrong here again? A sparrow is usually not alone. They're in an environment of another birds singing and rejoicing. But notice this, three negative verses here, or two verses, three different birds that are negative. But notice just what Spurgeon says. He said, I went from being like a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the desert and a sparrow alone, to when I come to Psalms 103, he's renewed my strength like an eagle. Mr. Pelican, I know it's dry, but there's good benefits. You can be an eagle again. Listen, Al, I know you're out of your environment there, but come in Christ. There's benefits here. Sparrow, I know that you're all alone by yourself. Nobody to sing a song with you, but I like what it says there. It tells us, it says, so that my youth is renewed like that of an eagle. An eagle can fly into the sun to lose its prey. It can rise above the storm. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather be an eagle than a pelican, an owl, or a sparrow. God, make us like eagles again. Renew our strength and make us what we need to be. All that is possible because it is God's benefits. As my wife makes her way to the piano, I look at this, brothers and sisters, and I can do nothing but say this: bless the Lord, oh my soul. If you'll notice in this, if you study on your own time, there's three sections here. There's personal praise. In this chapter, it goes on, there's national praise, then there's universal praise. I'm telling you, from a personal individual to a nation as a universe, we need to worship God. Amen. Stand to your feet all over this church.